Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into, I think it's our final segment. We're at the Chaucer, we're on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, and I think it's the final segment because I actually have the Chaucer Crab Cake here. Brian Eater is here. He is the proprietor. Francisco, you're out of breath, man. You brought me this crab cake. When are you getting the elevator installed in here?
You know, that's a long time coming. I don't know. That's a very, very expensive.
Well, look, man, Chef is back. Yep. Slinging here. Chef Francisco's here from the Chaucer. And you don't have to bring the... This is special. You bring these up the steps, right?
Yeah, that's...
That the other people run all this. You just cook the food.
I just cook the food and...
Well, give me a little insight on this crab cake. Brian, you've owned the Chaucer for 18 months. About 8-9 months ago when we first started opening up, maybe March, February, I came in. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm thinking of doing this crab cake tour. I want to start it with you before the Las Vegas game, before the Chiefs come to town. So here we are. Weather's held up. Second floor. It's beautiful out here. And I've had 43 crab cakes in the last 41 days. I haven't had a crab cake in 11 days. I've had crabs from Al's. I've had crabs from Costas. My wife made... I have 5 gallons of crab soup at home. We took all the legs off. Yeah. But I have not had a cake since the governor on the 31st of August. So that was down in Annapolis. Yep. I haven't talked to everyone about the crab cake. This looks like an Angelina crab cake, Brian.
It does. It does.
Now, you never had an Angelina crab cake.
No, that's something we were talking about.
All right, so let's talk about what makes a good crab cake as far as you can tell.
The Maryland, obviously Maryland crab
meat. You got to have Maryland crab meat.
Crab meat. You got to have the Old Bay. You have your lemon. I don't use a lot of filling. Which is only use Ritz crackers, not a bread. Not
crackers are your... Okay, all right.
Yeah, and try to now fill in the...
All right, I'm going in on this.
Try it.
So he said to me, it's not the greatest crab cake ever, but it's a really good crab cake.
Yeah. You the judge. Oh. I want people to be the judge too and try it.
Well, and the thing to me is consistency. You know, if I go to a restaurant and something is consistently a B+, I'm going to order it, but if I go in one time and it's great, and the next time it's I stay away from it. So I want it to be consistently good.
I like your fries.
Our fries are out of this world.
Yeah, our fries are excellent.
Hand cut. I'm a huge fan of the fries.
So you've been to Ocean City, right? I went down to Thrasher's. They won't serve ketchup at Thrasher's. I did a whole segment about they use apple cider vinegar.
Yep.
I thought it was malt vinegar, but it's apple cider vinegar. That they use on their French fries. So you serve this with this is mayonnaise, mayonnaise, and then you're serving this with the tartar.
Yes.
Homemade tartar? What's in the tartar?
Homemade tartar. We use capers, a little bit of shallots, a little bit of pico juice, and diced pickles.
I don't like tartar sauce in general. But I've been trying it everywhere. So the fresh ones I've liked. The canned ones you taste right away. It tastes like a relish, you know?
Yep.
It's terrible. I don't understand. And Brian, explain this to me, because when I was from Dundalk, I don't remember tartar sauce ever coming with a crab cake. Now, cocktail, fine.
Yep.
But tartar was for fish sticks, dude.
Yeah, and I don't know when that started, but I was always either a cocktail or mustard.
Mustard and crackers.
Yeah,
East Baltimore.
Correct. And so I'm not sure when it transitioned from tartar going for fish sticks to a crab cake. I'm not a tartar sauce guy either.
I did 23 counties and the city last month, and everywhere I went, I don't think there were 2 or 3 places that served me a crab cake without tartar.
Yeah.
Everyone serves it with tartar.
Yeah.
And I said, this is the new Anthony Bourdain. It's a Kitchen Confidential for you. When you serve this crab cake, I want you to ask your staff until the next time I come in, next 6 months from now, I want to know the whole answer. Every crab cake, when it goes back, how many times does it go back where no one touches
the tartar?
Touches the tartar.
Yeah.
I think that's the Kitchen Confidential, because everywhere I went, they served me a crab cake with tartar, and I have yet to meet a human being that tells me, oh, I won't have my crab cake without tartar.
Right.
No. But you work hard on this.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to just throw it away, so I don't want to be hard on the tartar. But so where are you from originally?
I'm from Mexico.
Mexico. Venezuela.
I've been in the United States for almost 30 years. I've been married for 26.
30 years. My father, I told him, I told Zeke this and Heidi. I'm Hispanic. My father came here when Luis Aparicio played baseball here in the 60s. And when my father, when I came to Highlandtown, Jaeger's Music, right up at Eastern Avenue, every Saturday of my childhood I spent in Highlandtown. I never met anyone who spoke Spanish. In 1979, 1980, 85, there were no Hispanic people in Baltimore. Yeah, I was the only Hispanic person you ever knew in Dundalk.
Well, no, my grandmother was Puerto Rican. My grandfather's Spanish. As a child, they spoke Spanish in the house. Hard-headed me didn't pay much attention. Yeah,
un poquito. Más o menos.
But I should know more than I do. And I was always the oddball, too.
I had gringos that raised me, Dundalk gringos, who sort of forbid me from speaking Spanish. Now, you can imagine how stupidly racist that is, and like the Archie Bunker in me. I am not fluent in Spanish, even though I'm Hispanic. It's embarrassing to me.
Yeah.
You going to help me, Francisco?
I will.
I read it better than I speak it. I can muddle my way through reading it.
So I spent like a week in Argentina, and I've been to Spain. I speak and it comes back to me, words. Yeah. Conjugating verbs, forget it, man. Especially irregular verbs.
I think it's
Spanish. Ear, soy, I mess all that up.
I think
you know?
Spanish is easy to pick up, and English is a hard language to...
I'm still having trouble with English. Just Brian.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so I want to have this crab cake. So you talk about the Angelina's crab cake. You've been a chef a long time. You make crab cakes different ways.
Yeah, I was a chef for Raleigh's Oyster for 12 years.
Okay.
So then these guys brought me here, and here I am.
I'm going to have it. So, everybody looks at me and says, you know, what's in it and the consistency. I want to show everybody the crab cake here. This is lightly fried, right?
Yeah, lightly fried. Yeah.
That's my favorite way. Now, did you and I talk about broiled or fried?
We did. I'm a broiled guy.
Why? You're from Dundalk.
I know. That's why. Because as a child, I always ate it broiled. And as I'm getting older...
And you serve it fried.
And because it's so good. And
this way Angelina's
I prefer fried.
As an older man, I'm trying to watch how much fried food I'm eating.
Dude, that's delicious.
Yeah. I think it's a very good crab cake.
It is Old Bay forward, though.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting a lot of mustard in it.
Right.
Not getting a lot of mayonnaise.
No, try not to put a lot of strong flavors. I want people to
taste
to enjoy the crab meat.
Well, that's what everybody says.
Yeah.
With crab meat costing this much, people would say, why would you put cocktail sauce on it? Why would you fry it? I like the texture of the outside. Yeah, I like the saltiness
the cushions,
of it.
Yep.
I'm from East Baltimore. So, like, to me, an Old Bay forward crab cake, this is... I don't eat mustard. I've never liked mustard. Yep. As I've gotten older, maybe a little bit more like the Fadley's crab cakes, very mustard forward, and I love it. My wife has started taking the saltines and the old school mustard with a crab cake like this. Mm-hmm. This screams, this needs a couple of crackers and some mustard.
Yeah.
East Baltimore, people, I'll tell you what, if you served it with crackers and mustard, more people would use it. Then we'll use this.
Yeah, I agree on that. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm starting this insurrection on tartar. If I've learned anything on the crab cake tour, it's that there's a lot of tartar sauce being wasted.
Yeah, and listen, you know, you and I are very similar in that regard. I do not like tartar either.
I don't like it. I just don't think it belongs with a crab cake necessarily. I'm going to try it.
I'm not a fan of the flavor, and so if I'm going to eat anything, it's going to be cocktail with it. But I want my crab cake to stand alone, and I don't need to put anything on it, just like a steak. You know, I think a good steak, you don't need to put steak sauce on. Salt and pepper, and that's it. And if you have to put something on a steak, then I don't think it's a particularly good steak. I feel the same way with the crab cake.
Now, I know what a great manager and operator Brian is, but I want you to fight on the air now. What's the thing you put on the menu that he didn't want? When you're putting the menu, because there's so many things you could put on a bar menu in East Baltimore, right? Now, he brought me the tuna. Ahi tuna tostadas were my wife's getting one of those, and he brought me the mac and cheese with the
black and blue.
Black and blue, yeah.
What's your favorite thing on the menu?
Honestly, I eat everything, and he let me play around with whatever I want, long as people
are buying it, right?
Yeah. So I mean, that's the one thing with him. Like he makes sure people's happy, and I want him to make sure
I'm happy, Francisco. Thank you for making me a crab cake, brother.
So,
the difference with the Angelina's would be that it would have like a parsley in it.
Yeah.
It always had a little green in it, right?
Yeah, actually, we usually put parsley, but unfortunately, the delivery came late today.
So, okay, so we would have parsley. The other thing that I've noticed, and this does not, I don't taste it in this. As a kid, I always put celery seed in a crab cake. Like, and I think it's in Old Bay a little bit.
It is.
I had two people swear to me there was no celery seed in their crab cake, and I pulled it out of my teeth an hour later. So if I'm driving through Canton on the way home and I feel celery seed, I'll see it in there. But I don't see it or feel it or taste it. And I always thought that was an ingredient that I want in my crab cake right. That hasn't been in a lot of crab cakes, though.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I feel like, and I think you might have said this before, you know, anywhere you go that has to advertise that they're serving a Maryland-style crab cake, they're probably not serving a Maryland-style crab cake.
I had Ben Cardin on third week of the tour. I was in Ocean City.
Yeah.
And great crab cake. The chef at the convention center, they all told me this is a serious chef. He brought me these shoestring potatoes, this coleslaw, this remoulade, and I'm not a remoulade on crab cake guy. It was just appropriate. It just really was a beautiful meal. Ben Cardin, we're talking about this, and I just had a really lousy crab cake in St. Michael's. Terrible. Philadelphia people. You know, I made a mistake. And Ben Cardin said to me he was trying to get it put into law, like champagne only comes from champagne.
Right, right, right.
You know, bourbon only comes, right. Yeah. He was trying to say, if you're serving a crab cake and you put Maryland style on it and you're not using Maryland meat, that there should be a law against that in the way that, because you're misrepresenting what you're serving.
We'll have a talk about bourbon another day because...
We did fishing in the first segment, Brian Eder. Yeah, yeah. We're at the Chaucer. Francisco's here. Brian Eder's here. We're on the second floor. And I just want to get back to how beautiful your spot is, because I talked to Zeke about this, and we're wrapping things up. Crab cake's delicious. Come on by. You don't have to get a crab cake. Get anything here, but make sure when the third floor gets open, too. Come by, watch a ball game, and enjoy yourself. This view and the vibe you have here, and you working here and serving food, and even bringing it up to me on a beautiful day, was this the thing that got you? Anybody can have a bar in East Baltimore. And when I say, come to the Chaucer, go up on the second floor, look out on at the view, see the cranes making our city bigger and brighter, I would think on a day like today, 72-degree, perfect breeze, I want to own this bar today.
Yeah, and when I walked up and took a look at this floor, that's what sold me on buying in. Because, you know, downstairs is you know, it's a carbon copy of every other bar in the world, basically, you know, bar seats and everything. But there are very few places in the city that have a view that's this good. The Bygone.
I see sailboats out here, like on the water now.
That's a great view.
I can see, you can literally see the flag flying at Fort McHenry from right where I'm sitting. I mean, that's why I set up here, because everybody in the city should get a beer. This should be a place people get a beer.
Yep. Just come and watch three innings of an Orioles game, a quarter of a Ravens game, have a beer and an appetizer, and it's a great place because it's almost like you're outside, but you're not. And like I said, the view is second to none in the city.
All right, well, crab cake tour, fried, East Baltimore, I love it. Brian Eder, our friend here at the Chaucer, he's all out of purple koozies, but you can have an orange one or a green one or a blue one or a red one. Stop on by. I appreciate you being, this is the first, I'm calling it the soft opening of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. The Maryland Lottery is going to be involved in a couple weeks. We're going to be at Costas next Friday, and then coming to your neighborhood after that. I know we're going to be at Coco's at Brandon Scott. We're talking about Pappas's and Conrad's and some other traditional crab places. But for every Chaucer in the city, how many bars do you know of right now you can name where you could send me that serves a crab cake that you would eat?
I think you could hit a...
Let's start naming them. Ready? Name your former employers. Let's just start with three or four of those, right?
Lee's.
Right.
Annabelle Lee's around the corner. I'm sure they have one.
Okay. Dudas.
Knotty Pine. That way has one.
10th Street Orchard House.
Yeah. Cardinal Tavern. Right down the street. The other way
has one.
We just
keep going, right? We go through this. I don't think I'm going to run out. So if I do this every Friday with a Brian and a Francisco, with a councilman, with good people, Patterson Alliance was here, Creative Alliance, Josh was here. We also had Heidi Daniel from the Enoch Pratt Free Library. So I'm trying to do neighborhood-oriented stuff.
I feel like you could stay in Highlandtown, Canton, Brewers Hill, and spend...
Never go to Hamden?
Yeah, well, I mean, but you could spend a year just doing one a week in this
there's 50 places within 15 blocks
yeah,
here.
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Well, that's what my thought was, and it's going to be the weather's not going to be as good every week outdoors.
Right.
The view's not going to be this good. The crab cake might, but I promise you it'll serve me tartar.
The view, even in wintertime, is great. You can sit right here and drink, and even if it's snow, you watch the view.
I'm going to come here and drink with you this winter. I'm not going to watch the Orioles, though. The Orioles are not on this winter. You promise me that?
Promise.
I'm not trying to be hard on them, but this is disgraceful.
Sure, and you know, I don't want to talk a whole lot of sports because, you know, we're doing...
Feel free.
But
that's what we used to do around here.
But this year, I have watched more than I have in the last 7 or 8, just because I have wanted to see some of the young guys coming up, and I do see a little bit of hope, but not a lot.
No, you're East Side degenerate baseball guy like me. Have you ever met anyone that's gambled on baseball?
Yes.
A lot of people?
Not a lot, but I know a few.
I'm having this argument because, like, baseball's become this gambling.
Yeah.
Like, the television, look, football was bad enough on Thursday night.
Right.
You're going to get it all this weekend, next weekend. DraftKings, play our fantasy, gamble, get your app out. Baseball, trying to market gambling is the most ridiculous. Like, when I'm thinking to myself, like, I know you want the money.
Right.
No one gambles on baseball.
I've
been a baseball fan 53 years. I don't even know how to gamble on baseball.
I have a few friends who are degenerate gamblers.
Okay, well,
and listen, they would bet on, if you and I were here flipping a quarter, they would take action on it.
Have they seen that wheel game over there?
They have, and they hate it. Because that's drinking involved. It's not, and it does, the dollar amount doesn't matter. It's just the action that they love. But, you know, but they need to do a better job of, and you've said this, you know, 100 times when we've talked, recruiting new fans, making it, you know, bringing it to this century.
You went to the game this week.
I did.
You took your whole staff.
2,700 people. Embarrassing.
I'm convinced John Angelo sent the rat out.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I mean, I am... I saw a Major League 30 years ago.
Yeah.
This is how you try to move a franchise.
Yeah.
Screw it up.
And
I'm watching it, and I'm watching it closely.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to shut up about it.
Well, and, you know, having been to the first game at the stadium and the All-Star game back in the 90s and seeing that place packed and remembering Memorial Stadium packed, you know, when it was in on 33rd Street.
Well, all that got brought up because he almost lost 21 again last month.
Yeah. And to see what that beautiful stadium has become, an empty, you know, shell of its former self.
Were you at Fantastic Fans Night?
No,
I
was not.
You didn't go?
No.
What's your favorite Oriole memory? I mean, going to a game.
Bo Jackson running the wall.
Oh, you were at that game.
I was. And I've always been a Bo Jackson fan. And honestly, that game, and then when he came back a few years later, he was playing for the Angels after he had his hip replaced. And I saw him hit a ground ball, and he was running up the first base line with his bad hip, and he was still faster at that point than 75% of the guys in the league. And so that game was, the Royals game was one of
them. I was Memorial the night Brad Comments went through the wall.
Okay.
I was at that one.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got so many baseball memories.
You know, I mean, the last game was great. But at the end of the day, I don't want to say, you know, the common ones, you know, the last game or, the first game at Camden. That, to me, was something that I still vividly remember and being there for. I had tickets to Eddie's
500
and left.
It happened late. It rained.
Yeah, it happened real late.
I listened to that in the car.
Yeah, I was walking home because I lived in Federal Hill.
It was 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and I had left and heard about it, and I was like, geez, you know. And so you never know. But I used to do 15, 20 games a year. And this year I've been to 2, and it's the most I've been to in the last 5.
Taste the lemon in your crab cake.
Yeah.
You mentioned lemon. I get that. It's forward lemon. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, we... I mean, like you said, so many restaurants, but everybody has to come up with their own. I mean, I've been learning from so many people, old people. They teach me a lot. So, I mean,
well,
even if I'm not from here, but half of my life has been here.
Well,
so
this is not your first turn at the crab cake, so
nah.
I can tell. This is delicious. Thank you very, very much
Thank
for making
you.
Me a crab cake. Bye. Thanks for hosting this, man. Soft opening, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, and this is a Maryland crab cake, and we're in Highlandtown. Upper Canton, Brewers Hill, whatever you call it, we call it home, East Baltimore.
East
Big
side.
Appreciation to all of our sponsors, including our friends at Wise Markets for having some wise conversations, and our guests, Zeke Cohen stopped by, Heidi Daniel stopped by from the Enoch Pratt Library, as well as our friend Josh from over at Patterson Creative Alliance. He invited me to the Big Willy Wonka night, April 23rd next year. You're going. We're going to do an ensemble.
Okay. I'm in. 100% in.
You can be a Gustus Gloop.
Oompa Loompa.
You as an Oompa Loompa is pretty. Group outing. Chris, group outing next year, April 23rd. Hold your night there, all right? You're going to be an Oompa Loompa. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop heckling the bartenders here at the Chaucer and talking Baltimore positive.